Tucker from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Yeah, I don't know all the details at this given point, but what I heard is just, it's not acceptable. And, you know, we're just not going down that road.
We'll go down it sometime between now and 7 o'clock. Welcome in. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn. We'll get you up to 7 o'clock tonight and a great show on tap for you tonight. Going to do a couple things, at least one thing that we've never done before ever in the history of KGYM tonight. And that's coming up in the 6 o'clock hour because we're going to devote just a few minutes of the program tonight to esports. And I'm going to take the segment seriously, I promise you. But that is on tap. We will get there. But we need to get through the first couple hours of the program first. John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, comes up at the bottom of the hour. The Cyclones, now 14th in the AP poll. It's the highest ranking for Iowa State since November of 2005. Next up for the Cyclones, a trip to West Virginia, Oklahoma State, hanging 50 on the Mountaineers over the weekend. It's the second worst thing that happened to the Mountaineers last week, and their mascot got arrested for DUI. Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com got to be with us at 5 o'clock as well. We've got lots of Hawkeye football and basketball news to get to today. The basketball team kicking off the season with an exhibition win over William Jewell on Friday night, 105-81. Some developments on the Connor McCaffrey front. You're going to hear from Connor McCaffrey himself what he had to say after making his debut with the Hawkeyes on Friday. Played, I believe it was 18 minutes, and scored 5 points all on free throws. Sounds as if he will be playing basketball and redshirting in baseball. We did mention that on Friday's program, so if you were listening to Friday and the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire, you were out ahead of the story on that one. Football news today as well. You've got the incident with Brian Ferentz in the press box, and I know people have a ton of hot takes on that, so we will indulge you on the Hurtine and Stocker text line at 319-366-1600. And speaking of Hurtine and Stocker Jewelers, they have provided us with some wonderful watches to give out as prizes this week, and as a good reminder that it's almost time to fall back. That will be this Saturday, right? November 5th? That's technically Sunday. Saturday is the 4th, but people tend to set the clocks back on Saturday because no one wants to stay up until 2 a.m. to do it. So it's time to fall back. And I'm told that you're going to want to come in and pick up your watch as soon as you win. Let's put it that way. If you win a watch from us this week, you've got to come into the station and pick it up, and here's the reason why. We have a limited number of men's and women's watches. And if we have too many men winning, then by the end of the week, what you're going to have, women's watches left. So you could play this off. Guys, if you win, you can play this off really cool. And this Thursday, Friday, you get a women's watch, and you come home, and honey, I love you so much. I got you a little something, courtesy of KGYM and our friends at Hurtine & Stocker. Exciting developments on Halloween coming up tomorrow on the front lawn of the KGYM studios. So much to get to, including Game 5 of the World Series, which I had to read about this morning at about 5 a.m. when I woke up. I did not make it to the end of the game last night, but I think having a one-year-old, it gives me a get-out-of-jail-free card on that one. I got to take my sleep when I can get it. And Chris Taylor singled up the middle to tie that game up. And I said, I don't care what happens at this point. I'm turning it off and I'm going to bed. Plenty more news to get to today as well. But Alex, I welcome you in. What a great weekend of football. Iowa State beats TCU. They storm the field in Ames. I don't know if you saw this or not. They ate a Taco Bell out of food.
I did see this.
In Ames. The celebration was so out of hand. And then Iowa hangs on to Floyd of Rosedale Saturday night in Iowa City. Not exactly a performance for the ages. I don't think that's going to go down in the annals of the 111 games played in the series between those two schools as being among the best or certainly the most entertaining. But the bottom line for that Hawkeye team, which now faces back-to-back games against Ohio State and Wisconsin, is they put another win into the W column.
They did put another win in the W column, and I said this during the post-game show on Saturday, but I felt a little bit bad because when that game was starting at 5:30, first of all, I hate the start time. I hope that Iowa never plays
Fox.
Another game at 5:30. It's awful.
We have no choice in the matter.
Oh, I know that. I understand.
I'm also
that.
Not too happy about 2:30 this weekend for Ohio State, but that's just me.
Yeah, we would all approve of 11 a.m. every week, but I think 11, 2:30, and 7, or 6:30 or 7 are great. 5:30 doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but that game is starting, and then Iowa State's coming down to the wire, and Ohio State and Penn State are coming down to the wire, and the World Series is about to get underway, and I'm just like, well, I guess I have to watch this Iowa game, but what was happening in Ames was, to me, and I think to a lot of people, more interesting because they beat another top five team, and they will probably be in the top 15 when the first college football playoff poll is unveiled tomorrow night. They're already ranked in the top 15 in the AP poll. It's just amazing how quickly things have turned around with Matt Campbell and Ames, and now you look at the rest of their schedule and you say, well, they can win 9 or 10 games.
The road to the Big 12 title game runs through Ames, Iowa, and I don't think that's anything anybody would have expected us to say at the beginning of the season, but there's a four-way tie in the Big 12 right now, and Iowa State holds the tiebreaker over two of the three teams. The third team, Oklahoma State, has yet to play the Cyclones, and they have to play that game at Jack Trice Stadium. It's the last home game of the year. So, look, I said at the beginning of the year that I felt really strongly that Matt Campbell and the Cyclones could get to 6 wins. But I kind of capped it at 6 wins. I said, if everything goes right for this team, they can get to 6. And they're there. Matt Campbell's now $500,000 richer because getting to 6 wins and bowl eligibility triggered a clause in his contract. And the rumors of his name coming up with jobs that are opening are not going to die down anytime soon. I'm going to take him at his word, though. And look, if I'm Matt Campbell, I have no qualms about staying in Ames for a couple years. But I also would have no qualms about going to my boss, Jamie Pollard, and saying, let's rework this deal. Let's see if we can come up with a few more shekels for my effort here. And at the end of the day, that's what the game is all about, right? I mean, coaches are going to get paid. And in some instances, when they aren't too happy about how much money they make, they bolt elsewhere. Look at what Brad Underwood did at Oklahoma State last year. He was in Stillwater for 1 year as the men's basketball coach. They weren't willing to pony up and give him a raise, and so he left town for Illinois. Not saying that that's going to happen here in this instance, but there are going to be some very high-profile jobs open this year. One of them is already open in the SEC, Florida, parting ways with Jim McElwain, which is, look, Florida beat Iowa by 27 points in the Outback Bowl in January. And Jim McElwain had won the SEC East his first two seasons in Gainesville, and he doesn't even make it through the end of a third. Now, there were some issues there with the administration, but that just is completely eye-opening to me. And then you've got the situation at Tennessee. The Volunteers lose to Kentucky, which is a program that traditionally Tennessee does not lose to Kentucky. And so you've got speculation that the hammer may be dropping on Butch Jones sooner rather than later. I don't care what you say about Tennessee. I still think that's a very good job. When you look at the grand scheme of things in college football, Nebraska's probably going to come open. There are rumors that Willie Taggart at Oregon is number one on the list for Florida. So that could start a domino there where the Oregon job opens up, and that certainly has been diminished a little bit. Now, maybe Chip Kelly could go back to Oregon. I mean, it's great times right now if you love college football. And if you're a Hawkeye fan, and you're just hoping to get through the next couple weeks. Let's be honest here. The performance on Saturday night didn't exactly inspire a whole lot of confidence. And I was talking about that with Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. We were walking out of Kinnick Stadium Saturday night after we had both finished up. And when you look at what Iowa did against Minnesota and look at some of Minnesota's other, I mean, Iowa basically accomplished against Minnesota points-wise what Illinois did the previous week. That's not good, especially if you've watched Illinois, which, by the way, they covered the spread against Wisconsin on Saturday. I knew, I said it. I said, that's a lot of points, but I was still going to roll with Wisconsin in that one. They kind of sleepwalked their way through the trip to Champaign, but Wisconsin's still in the driver's seat in the Big Ten West, to say the least. The Hawks are just getting by. It's one of those years. James Butler comes back, which was great to see. He's got the big brace on his arm. He had the fumble right before the end of the first half, which triggered the Brian Ferentz press box explosion, which I think would be a name of a very good garage band if anybody wants to take that and run with it. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that coming up later on because it is a story. I don't necessarily think it's the end of the world, and football coaches use salty language, and I think everybody understands that, but it was about the time and the place, and that was neither the time nor the place for it, and I think that's where a lot of people are having the issue with it. And look, most of you listening to the program right now, and I'm assuming the people here in the building with me as well, have probably been in a position where we have disappointed our fathers before. And try to recall what it's like the first time, or maybe the time that you disappointed your father the most. That was Kirk Ferentz on Saturday night. Who, by the way, and I want to be very clear about this, he was not asked about it by the media. Kirk came out and addressed the situation before anybody could even ask him about it. But it was very clear that Kirk was extremely disappointed in Brian Ferentz's conduct Saturday night in the press box. And there is nothing worse than the feeling of a son when it comes to not living up to their father's standards or the disappointment in their father. Am I right on that? If I'm wrong,
you're
let me
absolutely
know.
Right.
Hurtine and Stocker text line 319-366-1600. I think most of us, male or female, strive for adulation, that's not the word that I'm looking for. We don't want to disappoint or let down our parents, but there's just something about disappointing your father that weighs a little heavily on you. And it was probably a fairly awkward breakfast Sunday morning at the Ferentz household. Now, Rob Howe told me that they didn't have any big recruits in, so there wasn't. Because normally when the recruits come in, they take them for breakfast Sunday morning at Kirk's house. And it would have been probably some awkward conversation over the omelets or waffles or whatever it is that Kirk or Mary whips up. I don't want to make an assumption on who does the cooking. Kirk may very well have a bit of Julia Child to him. I have no idea. But the bottom line is, it wasn't a great look for Brian Ferentz, who I think probably has aspirations on being a head coach someday. And it's all about representing the school that you work for and knowing when and where to voice your displeasure, and doing it in that setting, in that environment. Now, I've had a ton of people say Kirk Ferentz, and you could read his lips on TV, he was saying things very similar to what Brian Ferentz said in the press box. But it's one thing to say it on the field, and it's another to do it in the setting that Brian did. And it'd be interesting to see whether or not the Big Ten hands down any punishment, either monetarily or maybe even a written reprimand, which, as we all know, ooh, the written reprimand. That's a legally binding, right? The written reprimand? Oh, we're very disappointed in you, Brian Ferentz. But It made for an interesting side note to a game that was not so very interesting.
It did, and since we're talking about, we were talking about Butch Jones in Tennessee, I'll bring something up that, that Tyler Ryder used to say. And he used to talk, I think he was talking about it in the same sense as the
Excavator?
The Ray Rice incident. And this, I'm not comparing the two, but he talked about that. The Ray Rice incident was a bad look even before the videotape came out. And once the videotape came out, it was a huge deal. I just hope that there's no video of Brian Ferentz in the hallway yelling at the replay officials.
There's not. It would have been out there
right
by now.
And if there isn't, then this probably stays as maybe a fine, and he'll learn from it, and all will be all right. And just hearing that he cussed out a replay official is one
thing.
Well,
it wasn't.
Actually seeing it is a different thing.
It wasn't just your run-of-the-mill cussing out.
Well,
there
were
some
exactly.
terms that were used that in this day and age, it borderline, if there was someone around that would have taken major offense to it, there probably could have been some issues to it, because at least one of the terms that was used has some connotations to it. And I'm not going to necessarily get into that, although I'll just say it was ugly language, and I'll leave it at that. And it's 2017, and that was a public setting. I know that, look, Fran McCaffrey probably says things fairly similar in Carver-Hawkeye Arena, and just the way that the acoustics are there, you can hear it. And you can read lips, and you could read Kirk Ferentz's lips. It's time and place. And what's said on the court or on the field is much different than being in the press box. And I'll leave it at that. I have a feeling we're not done talking about this today, but really quickly, I do want to get to this because I teased it at the start of the show. We're going to have a new champion this year in the Tournament of Bad Halloween Treats. And this is key because we'll be handing one of these four candies out on the front lawn of the KGYM studios tomorrow for Halloween. Major, major upset. Alex, as you may or may not know, today is National Candy Corn Day.
I did not know that.
And candy corn did not make it out of the sugary bracket. The number 3 seed, Circus Peanuts, advances to the Final Four. Circus Peanuts is now, you'll have to head to my Twitter, by the way, momentarily. The poll will be up for the next hour as we determine the final two candies. At Todd Brummelkamp on Twitter, if you're a Twitter user, please give me a follow. Circus Peanuts will be squaring off against the number 2 seed out of the Chewy region, Good and Plenty, which upset one of the all-time greats, Bitto Honey. The number 1 overall seed in the tournament is out. It didn't even make the Final Four. So Good and Plenty against Circus Peanuts, which this is going to be a real pain in my rear end if I've got to go find individually packaged Circus Peanuts to hand out tomorrow.
And Good
and
Plenty.
So keep that in mind. Now, Good and Plenty, I get taken care of. So keep that in mind as you're voting. Try to do me a favor here. Do me a solid and vote for Good and Plenty. They're easier to find. And then on the left-hand side of the bracket in the chocolate region, and I know, look, I'm going to give away state secrets here because I think everything that happens here, if I can use it on the air, I'm going to use it. And so there are no secrets in this building. I overheard Alex Kuhn earlier today professing his admiration, his love for the Almond Joy.
I brought it up on the last show. I said I like Almond Joy.
So the number 2 seed Almond Joy is actually in the Final Four. Almond Joy knocking off the number 1 seed Tootsie Roll in the chocolate region. And who does Almond Joy go up against? The number 3 seed out of the wrapped candy division, very clearly underseeded by the committee. The number 3 seed Necco Wafers in a major upset because people freaking hate peanut butter chews. Those orange and black wrapped candies that they're not taffy, they're not gum, they're not particularly good. I like them, but that's just, it's Halloween, and for like 2 weeks, a 2-week window, I enjoy eating them. Necco Wafers and Almond Joy in one of the Final Four showdowns, Circus Peanuts and Good and Plenty's in the other. At Todd Brummelkamp on Twitter, the poll will only be up for the next hour and 10 minutes. And at 5:30 today, we're going to then find out who the final showdown will be. And then tomorrow on the front lawn of the KGYM studios, we'll be handing out the candy. And I'm happy to announce also, along with our bad candy, some great soda from our friends at Dr. Pepper, Steve Carter down the street. They're terrific, great to deal with. They love us here. They listen to the show. Steve has provided us with some soda and body armor. So bad candy, good soda. Stop on by the KGYM studios tomorrow. We'll get you the hours, and we'll get you more details as we get them hammered out for Halloween. And if you have no idea what we're talking about, we'll fill you in coming up in just a little bit. John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, coming up in just a few minutes at the bottom of the hour. Kyle's going to have your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day, and plenty more news to get to, including last night's epic. Is it this morning's? Last night slash this morning's epic Game 5 of the World Series. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
Let's go, Hawks! Let's go, Hawks! Let's go, Hawks!
Cheer on the black and gold in your black and gold from BravoSportsMarketing.com. BravoSportsMarketing.com has everything you need as a true Hawkeye fanatic. Game day apparel, football ticket packages, Hawkeye posters, and the popular American Eats Farmers gear. Get your hands on the new Fight for Iowa logo tees, available in black or gold. You'll definitely want one for the blackout game against Ohio State. BravoSportsMarketing.com also has game tickets to all home Iowa games. And BravoSportsMarketing.com is the only place you'll find Hawkeye Village ticket and tailgate packages, including your game ticket, tailgate-style buffet, musical entertainment, and more. Hawkeye Village packages currently remain available for all home games. Get them now! BravoSportsMarketing.com. Over 20 years of authentic Hawkeye gear for serious Hawkeye fans.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Are you ready for a place to call home instead of just another job? Family-owned Midwest Metal Products might be just what you're looking for. They're a small company with big opportunities, and they've been very good to their employees for over 50 years. See a video tour at MidwestMetalProducts.biz to find out if it's a place you'd like to call home. They have second shift openings now and provide on-the-job training. Midwest Metal Products in Cedar Rapids is an equal employment opportunity employer. Non-tobacco users only. Drug screen and physical required.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at TryonInvestments.com.
Yeah, 3530, I appreciate the suggestion of getting baggies and filling them with the Circus Peanuts if Circus Peanuts wins, but then you just open yourself up to somebody who wants to screw around with you and pretend that you put a shard of glass in there or something. So, no, everything we hand out tomorrow is going to be hermetically sealed somewhere, but the finals are up at Todd Brommelkamp on Twitter. Almond Joy taking on Necco Wafers and Circus Peanuts against the Good and Plenty. Good and Plenty has had a great run, and if I had to predict, it's going to be probably either Necco Wafers or Good and Plenty, but I don't want to contaminate the voters' minds here. Let's kick it over to Kyle. He's got your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa State did it again this weekend. They knocked off number 4 TCU 14-7 and now shoot up to number 14 in the AP poll. Linebacker Marcel Spears was named the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week for the second week in a row. He had 9 tackles and a fourth quarter pick to seal it. They become the first team to upset 2 top 5 teams before November since the 2005 Florida Gators. Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell and defensive back Josh Jackson were both named a semifinalist for the Chuck Bednarik Award, which goes to the nation's best defensive player. Jewell is also a semifinalist for the Butkus Award, honoring the nation's best linebacker. And I also can't go without telling you that the Hawkeyes unveiled their alternate uniforms for this weekend's blackout hosting Ohio State. If you haven't seen them yet, take a look, because they're pretty decent. The Iowa basketball team gave fans their first look at this year's squad on Friday in a 105-81 exhibition victory over William Jewell College. More than 11,000 fans packed Carver Hawkeye Arena to watch Jordan Bohannon lead with 19 points on 7 of 12 shooting. Tyler Cook had 16 points on just 5 of 7 from the floor, but the main events were freshman Luca Garza with 17 points and 9 rebounds, and Jack Nungy also with 9 rebounds and 16 points on a perfect 6 of 6 from the floor. Also reported today that fellow freshman Connor McCaffrey will in fact pull his red shirt and play basketball this season. And tonight after the show, as always on Monday, we've got the Cyclone Call-In Show on 1600 and Monday Night Football on 106.3 FM the South Gym and 107.5 FM the North Gym.
John Walters, play-by-play voice of the number 14 Iowa State Cyclones, joins us next.
This bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Linder Tire Service, right on their reputation for integrity and outstanding personal service. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with a set of new tires from Linder Tire.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Philadelphia 2, and I put Pittsburgh back up at 1 after leaving them off before the Jacksonville loss. It's getting down to talent. Who do I trust? And now it's going to be about injuries, too. They're healthier than most.
The Ryan Russillo Show, weekdays at 1 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Here's what's happening. A pair of AFC West rivals both try to get back on track when the Chiefs welcome the Broncos on Monday Night Football, 8:15 Eastern, ESPN TV. Denver game and a half back of the division-leading Chiefs. The game also marks the first trip back to KC for Denver's Jamal Charles. Bears tight end Zach Miller will remain in a New Orleans hospital for evaluation following emergency surgery to repair a damaged artery in his left leg. It's a travel day for the Astros and Dodgers, making their way back to Los Angeles for Game 6 of the World Series tomorrow. Houston up 3-2, should get another solid outing from Justin Verlander, believes ESPN's Jessica Mendoza.
I expect something special, just because there has been something special about him in a Houston uniform. They go out and get him, and he changes this team. He's had an influence on this team.
Jessica Mendoza on Mike and Mike. Rich Hill for LA. Game 6 tomorrow, 7 Eastern, ESPN Radio. The Phillies hired Dodgers Director of Player Development Gabe Kapler as their new manager. NBA injured Heat center Hassan Whiteside out of fifth straight game tonight against Minnesota.
Want an easy way to see if you could save money on car insurance? GEICO gives you three. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. Three ways you could save 15% or more.
Not available in all states.
Hey, Carl, how is it you're always golfing? I thought you owned a business.
I own a recent Irby's robot franchise, Bob.
Robots? What do they do?
They serve 7 flavors of delicious frozen yogurt in just 60 seconds with a choice of 6 tasty toppings. I've got robots in malls, movie theaters, and hospitals, and the franchisor secured these locations for me.
Sounds so easy.
Yep, managing my robots is simple. Each takes about 2 hours of maintenance a week, leaving me plenty of time to practice my short game.
Oh, nice shot. Looks like I need to get some Recent Irby's robots.
Easiest employees you'll ever have. Just go to frailfranchising.com. Recent Irby's will supply everything you need. They even secure you high traffic locations. Hey, where are you going?
To learn more about a Recent Irby's franchise opportunity.
To learn more about your Recent Irby's Froyo robot franchise opportunity, go now to froyofranchising.com and use promo code 6767. froyofranchising.com, promo code 6767. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 6767.
At Advanced Auto Parts, we offer you the quality parts you want and knowledge you need. And we're always looking for ways to help you save. Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil High Mileage or conventional motor oil for just $19.99. Plus, find great prices on Advance's full line of oil filters. Go to Advance or participating CarQuest Auto Parts stores to take advantage of this great offer while it lasts. Advance Auto Parts, where oil is priced like it should be.
Hey pros, from property updates to new construction, Lowe's makes it easy to save during our Ready to Refresh event. Get up to 30% off appliance special values, including great brands like GE. That's up to 30% off washers, dryers, refrigerators, and more. And knock new doors off your list with up to 10% off select in-stock Therma-Tru entry doors. For details, see lowesforpros.com or stop by the Pro Desk at your nearest Lowe's. Appliance offer valid 9/28 through 10/31. Door offer valid 10/23 through 11/3. Selection varies by store, U.S. only.
If you've got the drive, you need the tires that'll go the distance. Get $60 by mail on a Firestone Visa prepaid card when you buy a set of four eligible tires. Increase your reward to $100 with a qualifying tire purchase using your CFNA credit card. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid through November 12th, subject to credit approval. Prepaid card is issued by the Bancorp Bank, member FDIC, and can be used everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. Bancorp Bank is not affiliated with CFNA.
4:36, welcome back in on 106.3 and 107.5 FM, our South and North gyms, respectively, in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM, the historic main gym. You can hear us all across eastern Iowa, also online at kgymradio.com, where you can vote in today's poll question, Iowa's alternate uniforms for this weekend's game against Ohio State. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Iowa and Ohio State announced late Saturday night that that game would be kicking off at 2:30 this weekend. Iowa State will head east to Morgantown to take on West Virginia. The Mountaineers suffering a setback, giving up 50 points at home to Oklahoma State and Mike Gundy over the weekend. So they'll be looking to bounce back against the Cyclones, who are number 14 in this week's AP poll, highest ranking since November of 2005 when Dan McCarney had the Cyclones at number 9. And the man who's been there for it all, for every play this season, John Walters, joining us courtesy of Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. And John, that was a fantastic photo that Brent Bloom shared this weekend of you and your view from the press box as fans were flooding the field there at Jack Trace Stadium. What a moment.
Yeah, that was a great view to see all those fans running out there again. It'd been a while since the fans had rushed the field. Probably that Oklahoma State game in 2011, which was another victory over a top five team when that kind of a celebration happened. But really, really cool. And so many of those fans had been there for so many mixed emotions through the years and certainly some hard times. And so to see them rewarded with that moment was really, really cool. And, they've earned it. They've been there through thick and thin. Those fans have earned that right to go celebrate that moment. So I was really happy for them.
Because of those hard times, because of the mixed emotions you talk about, what is it going to be like for you and those fans to tomorrow night seeing Iowa State probably in the top 15 in the college football playoff poll?
Well, it'll be cool. It'll be really cool to see Iowa State's name there. But you also have the reality check of it won't be there for long if you don't keep going, and it's hard to keep going because, three of these next four are on the road. You go to a tough place this weekend in Morgantown, West Virginia, and your one home game is against a really, really good top 10 Oklahoma State team. And so, there's a lot of landmines still out there. It would be great at the end of the year to see Iowa State's name there, but it'll be fun. It will definitely be fun to see it there this week, and hopefully the winning continues and it stays there. And you know what? There's as much as I say there's those landmines out there, there's every reason to believe that this team can go win against any of those teams that are remaining on their schedule, and they've already proven that. So if they keep the attention to detail the way they have, anything's possible, and that's what's so much fun right now.
John, I feel like I've asked you this a lot this year, but at what point on Saturday did you have a really good feeling that Iowa State was going to be able to hold on and win that game?
Not when Kevontae Turpin returned the opening kickoff in the second half for a touchdown. I can just tell you that was not that moment when I had that feeling. But to their credit, and that got followed up by the only turnover of the game for Iowa State. They threw an interception. TCU took over around the 40-yard line. They seemed to be on the march going in. And the Brian Peavy interception really kind of changed things. But, they had they had their opportunities, certainly, and Iowa State kept on making plays to deny them. I don't think I ever really got comfortable within that game. Obviously, not that I felt like Iowa State was going to lose, but the game was in the balance the whole time, and that's when it's fun, when you have games like that. And as we've talked about on your show, you know, Iowa State has been in that situation a lot of times under Matt Campbell, and even going back to the last 2 years under Paul Rhodes, they've been in that position where all it takes is one or two more plays to close out a game and find a way to win. And it always seemed like it had been that other team making that play or coming up with that big turnover or doing something in the final minutes, getting a big first down, whatever the case may be, to put Iowa State away. Now this season the tables have been turned a little bit, and it's been Iowa State that's been able to find that play and been able to put away teams. And so it's fun to be on the other side of it for sure, but games are fun when you really don't know the outcome until the very last play, and that's kind of what we've been experiencing here lately.
John, I don't know what more we can say about the defense. They've allowed 13 points in the last 3 weeks total. Like you said, the only touchdown TCU scored was on a kick return. John Haycock always talks about trying to keep the offense in front and rally to the football, and I think a lot of Big 12 coaches defensively are talk about that but aren't able to implement it. How is Iowa State able to implement it and shut down two really good offenses in the last 3 weeks?
Great question, and I'm sure I'll make it sound much more simple than it really is, but I do believe that just bringing Ray Lima into the program has had an enormous impact on the entire defense. It's allowed Iowa State to play that three-man front. And then when Ray got hurt or dinged up or whatever the case may have been on Saturday, Vernell Trent was able to come in there and make some plays at that position. But it certainly makes a big difference when that guy is disruptive from the middle. And if guys stay in their lanes and do their jobs on the outside, which Jaquan Bailey and J.D. Wagner have done, they're both having marvelous years. And then the secondary we thought would be a strength. It's really turned into one. The linebackers, Matt Campbell thought would be a strength. I think that raised some eyebrows when he said that on Media Day, that he thought the linebackers could be a real strength to this team. People are thinking, well, wait a minute. You got one guy returning in Willie Harvey. Marcel Spears is a brand new starter. And Joel Lanning's moving from the offensive side to the defensive side. How can that be a strength? But he saw something there that we're all seeing now. But I think a lot of it just comes back to 11 guys, and it sounds corny, it sounds cliche, but it's really the truth. 11 guys playing as one, playing for each other. You know, when I did a pregame interview with Paul Rhodes when Iowa State was getting ready to play Matt Campbell's Toledo team, he said, these guys are really good at 11 guys flying to the football. He said, you know, a play ends, you're going to see all 11 guys there. And, you know, go back and look at Iowa State's two fumble recoveries in that game. 11 guys are right around the pile, and maybe, a handful of guys from the opponent. That's what it takes. And so it's been fun to see it kind of all come together. Those guys are playing with a ton of confidence on that side of the ball right now. They feel like they're going to make plays. And there's a lot of good players on that side of the ball. Far more, I think, than anybody realized going into the season. Everybody was talking about the offense, and deservingly so. It's been a good offense, but I think nobody was really talking about the defense going into the season, and that's the area which has been such a pleasant surprise, and I think it all starts up front.
Are we finding that a lot of these offenses, or at least a few of these offenses in the Big 12, are so reliant on the big play that when you make them go 10 or 11 plays on a drive, they're bound to make a mistake?
Well, I think there's something to that. You know, it's funny, I just had this conversation today with Dennis Dodd, who's from CBS Sportsline. He's here having doing a story on Iowa State. And we talked about that very topic, about how just – you know, within the Big 12, there's so many explosive, great offenses and great quarterbacks, and there have been for a decade now. But, you know, Bill Snyder kind of found a way to play a different brand of football that could still have success against those teams. And I don't think that Iowa State's formula is that far different than what Coach Snyder did at Kansas State. And it's the attention to detail, the little things, keep everything in front of you, as you mentioned, force teams to beat you with a number of plays, be sure tacklers, don't commit a lot of penalties, don't turn the ball over. When you start adding those things up and you're good on special teams, which Iowa State has been for the most part this season, you have an opportunity to win games. And those are the things that Iowa State's doing. When you start looking statistically at where they are in terms of, you know, fumbles lost and fewest penalties and, they're just up there in a lot of categories that matter, tackles for loss. And so I think it's just I think these guys have hit on something that, you know, you don't have to be a 50-point-a-game offense to win in the Big 12 Conference, and I think these guys have proven that, and so has Kansas State in recent years.
John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the nationally-ranked Iowa State football program, joining us courtesy of Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. Iowa State makes the trip to Morgantown this weekend, take on West Virginia. Bryce Meeker, we all saw him go down on Saturday. Matt Campbell said today it's not an ACL injury, but it sounds like it may be a while before we see him back on the field. How does that affect things on the line for Iowa State?
Oh, I think it does. You know, he had really settled in and was doing a nice job there as the starting right tackle, and now Sean Foster steps into those shoes. Now, thankfully, Sean has had some experience. He has played some this season, even started, I believe, at Akron, I think, was his one start. But, you know, Sean obviously has big shoes to fill there. But at least he's got some experience at that spot, and they're very high on him. He's a guy that was a highly recruited guy that they were really excited about, was kind of the crown jewel maybe of that recruiting class when they first got here. Redshirted last year. He's from Mundelein, Illinois, and big physical-looking guy, tough guy, nasty, and he's going to have to play that way, you know, and play smart. And so a lot on Sean's shoulders. Certainly this week, West Virginia is very athletic. And he's going to have to deal with that. But he's, I think, a suitable replacement until Bryce can get healthy. And that was great news to hear that it's not an ACL with Bryce. You know, he and Julian Good-Jones, also from Cedar Rapids, make up two-fifths of that starting offensive line for Iowa State. And there's four native Iowans on that starting offensive line. And Bryce has done a nice job. He's a really versatile guy that can really play any of the positions along the offensive line. And that kind of versatility is huge. So it'll be big to get him back. And even if Sean Foster plays great, there'll be a place for Bryce no matter what because he is so versatile.
And the other injury news today, Matt Campbell shutting Matt Leo down for the year. Sounds like maybe the plan there is looking at a medical redshirt?
I think so. He's had enough minor injuries throughout the course of the season that they kind of add up. And as he mentioned, he's got such a bright future ahead of him. He's really such a raw talent that he just needs time and needs to learn football, really. I mean, he comes from Australia and hadn't played a lot and came over here and kind of learned the game in junior college, and he's still learning it and still has a long way to go, but high ceiling for him. And so it makes a lot of sense if they can get a redshirt year for him to go ahead and do that and have him play the next couple of years and really have a chance to succeed as a really good-sized defensive end. That guy is huge, man. And if he can learn the game, the physical part of it's there, it would be really fun to see what he could do.
Now, John, I thought they had a little bit of a clunker against Oklahoma State this past weekend, but West Virginia has been much better offensively with Will Grier as their quarterback, the transfer from Florida. They have the leading receiver as far as touchdowns and David Sills. What makes them so difficult to defend?
Those two guys are a good place to start, but then you throw in Crawford, the running back, who's one of the best in the Big 12 and very, very fast, and they go with McCoy as well, who's another running back who's very talented. They're a team that is dangerous because they can beat you with that deep stuff. You know, they can get behind you, just like Oklahoma State can. And that was an interesting game because both teams kept trying to get behind the other one's defense with deep throws, and they kept getting intercepted, you know, and there were a lot of turnovers in that game. But that's the strength of both of those teams is hitting the big play down the field. As you mentioned earlier, it's really characteristic of a lot of Big 12 teams, and certainly those two. And Sills is just a great story. I mean, a former quarterback who's reinvented himself as an outstanding receiver. And Grier has probably as strong of arm as anybody in the country. So that was a great pickup for them. And you know, they're going to be tough to beat on their home field. Iowa State struggled with West Virginia in recent years. They did have the one win over there with Grant Rohatch. I think it was a double or triple overtime game over in Morgantown a few years back. But other than that, they've really struggled with West Virginia. So we'll see if they can get them figured out this year.
They've been some interesting sideline shows the last couple weeks. What can we look forward to tonight?
Yeah, we've got Kevin Dresser on tonight for the first half hour. First time we've had Kevin on board. He's got Wrestling Media Day tomorrow, so that'll be fun to talk to him a little bit about what he sees coming for Cyclone Wrestling this year. He's really excited, and it's just a breath of fresh air to have him around because he's just got so much energy. And so it'd be fun to talk to him in the first half hour. And then Matt Campbell will be along for the final hour today.
Lots of energy everywhere in Ames these days. John, we appreciate it as always. Have a safe trip to Morgantown. We'll touch base with you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, guys.
John Walters, play-by-play voice of the number 14 Iowa State Cyclones. I had an Iowa State fan mention to me this weekend that he thought I was a big Iowa homer, and he didn't think that I would be mentioning Iowa State's ranking. So I'm trying to do it as often as possible just to rub it in to that individual person. But John's appearance is brought to you by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. And remember last week, Craig hooked somebody up with tickets to that game. That is going to go down, I think, as probably in the neighborhood of the Iowa-Michigan game in 1985, where every Iowa State fan is going to claim that they were there on the field after Iowa State beat TCU on homecoming. Now, I thought it was interesting, and I think it's a sign of the times, that neither Iowa State TCU, which was homecoming and a number four team in the country and the biggest game in that program's history, or Iowa-Minnesota, which was a night game, Floyd of Rosedale, big rivalry game, neither one of those games was sold out. Now, I know what the weather forecast was going to be, and you can give me a number of excuses, but if you're not selling out those games, then I think it just goes to show what an uphill climb it's going to be for teams everywhere to continue to get people to show up. If you're an Iowa State fan and you had an opportunity to go to that game last weekend, why wouldn't you buy a ticket? That's what I mean. The biggest game in your program's history, and you can't fill a 61,500-seat stadium. And Iowa, well, I mean, it feels like we've beat the attendance drum for the last couple years with the Hawkeyes, and when things aren't going very well, it's pretty easy for people to bail on them, and they're going to, I think, take some of the seating away from Kinnick Stadium when they do the end zone renovation project, which is coming up in the near future. By the way, this was really cool, and it kind of went underreported on Saturday night, but Gary Barta was back on the sidelines with the Hawkeyes. He was also at the basketball game Friday night. I saw him there briefly. Gary Barta, Iowa's athletic director, making his return from prostate cancer, and hopefully he's able to make a full recovery. Kirk Ferentz gave Gary Barta the game ball from Iowa's win over Minnesota on Saturday night. So a very cool moment there, I'm sure, inside the locker room for Iowa's athletic director. 4:53, we'll step aside and take a quick break. When we come back, Kyle's going to have another big board update for you. Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com joins us in just a few minutes. We'll talk Iowa, Minnesota, and Iowa, Ohio State with him. Back with more of the Todd Brolekamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
Fellow Cyclone fans, this is Craig Adamson of True Wealth Stewardship in Marion.
Oh, we will fight for Iowa State, and may her colors ever fly. Oh, we will fight with might for Iowa State, with the will to do or die. Rah, 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 loyal sons forever true. And we will fight the battle through. And when we hit that line, we'll hit it hard, every yard for ISU.
Shifting gears is what it takes sometimes to move forward. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is looking for some special people like you who view life a bit differently. You're intrigued by the thought of working all night when the rest of the world isn't. You like the freedom and the pay night work offers, plus overtime. Shifting gears with PMX Overnight offers stellar health benefits with medical, dental, and vision, coupled with rock-solid retirement benefits. Working the overnight shift at PMX isn't for everyone, but shifting gears may be perfect for you. Learn more at ipmx.com.
Register now for the Let Me Run Fall Fest 5K, presented by Pinnacle Realty. This chip-timed race on Sunday, November 5th, starts at 1 o'clock at Kirkwood Community College. Proceeds benefit Let Me Run Eastern Iowa Corridor. Find race info at letmerun.org.
Stupid rubber duck. Oh, I bet this is Mariota's room. Whoa, I get that he went to Oregon, but a pond-themed room seems a little weird. I was just looking for Mariota.
Hey, what's going on out there?
I told you we should have just gone to HeismanHouse.com, but no, we had to go to the house. We could have voted for this year's Heisman winner from the safety of our computers.
4:55. Welcome back in the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way until 7 o'clock tonight. Remember to head over to Twitter and check out at Todd Brolenkamp. You can vote in the not so final four of the 2017 Tournament of Bad Halloween Treats. The Almond Joy facing off against the Necco Wafer. Necco Wafers, because you get multiple ones of them in the little wrappers. That's one of the final four matchups. And then Circus Peanuts against the Good and Plenty, the other matchup. Voting ends at 5:30 tonight on Twitter. And then over the back half of the program tonight, we will determine this year's champion. Alex, prediction. Who wins?
Good and Plenty.
You want to say Almond Joy.
Who wins or loses?
Well, what candy will we be handing out tomorrow?
I'm guessing Good and Plenty.
Alex says Good and Plenty. Kyle? Kyle says...
It'll most likely be Good and Plenty.
Good and Plenty.
Nobody likes that candy. I've got a bad feeling
that Circus Peanuts is going to pull the upset just because it's going to be a major pain in the rear end to hand those out tomorrow.
I do think...
Major pain.
We had a texter say that they're going to vote for that just, I think, to make things difficult for you.
And Major Payne, wasn't that was a like a Wayans brother,
Great
Brothers movie or something, wasn't it?
Yep.
Okay.
Feel a little bit of pressure.
Yeah, if you want to make life miserable for us here at KGYM, you can vote for Circus Peanuts. And you know what? Necco Wafers.
Ugh.
Now, I think they sell them in big bags, and the Halloween-sized ones, you get about 6 or 8 of them in a wrapper, but they're hard to find. And I don't want to be traipsing across eastern Iowa looking for Necco Wafers at 10 in the morning tomorrow before I have to come into work. So now that you guys know what's going to make this as difficult as possible, vote accordingly at Todd Brolenkamp. Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com coming up in just a few minutes. Kyle is here for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One with over 40 locations across the corridor for your banking needs.
Iowa State knocked off number 4 TCU 14-7 this weekend, and they now shoot up to number 14 in the AP poll. Linebacker Marcel Spears was named the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week for the second week in a row. He had 9 tackles and a fourth quarter pick to seal that win. They're the first team to upset 2 top 5 teams before November since the 2005 Florida Gators. Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell and defensive back Josh Jackson were both named as semifinalists for the Chuck Bednarik Award, which goes to the nation's best defensive player. Jewell's also a semifinalist for the Butkus Award, honoring the nation's best linebacker. And I can't go without telling you that the Hawkeyes unveiled their alternate uniforms for this weekend's blackout hosting Ohio State. If you haven't seen them yet, take a look, because they're pretty good. The Iowa basketball team gave fans their first look at this year's squad on Friday in a 105-81 exhibition victory over William Jewell College. More than 1,000 fans showed up to watch Jordan Bohannon lead with 19 points on 7 of 12 shooting. Tyler Cook had 16 points on just 5 of 7 from the floor. But the main events were freshman Luca Garza with 17 points and 9 rebounds, and Jack Nungy also with 9 rebounds and 16 points on a perfect 6 of 6 from the floor. It was also reported today that fellow freshman Connor McCaffrey will, in fact, pull his red shirt and play basketball this season. Tonight after the show, it's going to be the Cyclone Call-In Show on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, and Monday Night Football on the FMs.
I like the description of more than 1,000 people, because the box score says 11,539, but I was there. I would go closer to
just over 1,000 people.
No, they had more than that there, but I'm going to guess maybe accurately, like butts in the seats, 6,500, 7,000. Okay. I mean, it was... not a huge turnout, to say the least, but the Hawkeyes, with their first of 2 exhibitions in the books this year, we'll talk all about it with Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com. He joins us next. 106.3, 107.5, 1600, it's the Todd Brolenkamp. 1600, it's the Todd Brolenkamp.